Hello, I'm Sarah Jessica Parker in for Leonard Lopate. Glenn Lowry has been the director of the Museum of Modern Art since 1995, and during his tenure, the museum launched a massive building project to expand its gallery space, partnered with PS1 Contemporary Art Center, and has mounted many landmark exhibitions of film, prints, drawings, design, paintings, and photographs, including the current exhibition Gauguin Metamorphosis and Sigmar Polka, a retrospective, which opens Saturday. I'm so pleased that Glenn Lowry joins me now to talk about how MoMA collects and displays some of the major masterpieces of modern art, the museum's plans to expand again, and how in his role as MoMA's director, he's shaped the cultural and physical landscape of New York. Oh, welcome, Glenn Lowry.
Thank you, Sarah Jessica.
So what was your original vision when you came to MoMA as director?
I came to the museum in 1995, and what was attractive to me was how to be at a museum of modern art and contemporary art at the moment the 20th century was going to become the 21st century. How do you evolve? What were the questions to ask? What were we as an institution going to do to be ready for the future? Because the Museum of Modern Art, while it was founded in 1929, so in a sense it began at the early part of the 20th century, was an institution devoted, committed to the idea of the future. And what would the future look like in the new century? And everything that we've done really since then has been about thinking about the collection, thinking about our audience, thinking about the kinds of exhibitions that were essential to both marking our own history and anticipating what was to come.
So if that's the case, then the vision keeps evolving. It has to. If it's a museum that explores those modern themes and big ideas in art, so does it just keep changing? Is it sort of like you keep moving the goalpost in some way?
Oh, it is very much. Our founding director, Alfred Barr, once thought about the museum as a torpedo moving through time, with the nose the ever-advancing future mm-hmm. and the tail the ever-receding past. And he imagined the museum as having a kind of 50-year window, that it would mm-hmm. concentrate on what was happening during that time span. And, of course, every 50 years you would be moving forward. The reality we discovered was that the need to work through our own history and the history of modern art extended our reach past that 50-year vision. And so our challenge has been, how do we continue to navigate the future, honor our past, and do justice to the present? And I think of that torpedo as being now attached to a bungee cord.
Uh-huh.
We keep pulling the past into the future. And what marks a place like the Museum of Modern Art as different from an encyclopedic or historic museum is that our interest in the immediate past is not to locate it within a historical context, but rather to see it as the window for understanding the present and the future.
Yeah, I think it's one of the many things that I love about visiting the museum is seeing the past, you know, being reminded also of those first images that I saw as a little girl when I came, that those things aren't no longer relevant. They're not out of date in some way, but they do anchor. They even anchor the building in some way. Tell me a little bit about your background and if, in fact, it's true that you came from the world of Islamic art. Is that right?
It is right.
And how does that lead one to be the director of Museum of Modern Art? Is that a natural leap?
I got lost somewhere in the middle. You know, I should have turned left when I turned right. No, I was very lucky. I had an undergraduate education in art history at a place that offered a really broad range of courses from Islamic art, Indian art, Chinese art, contemporary art, modern art, art of the Renaissance, and was fascinated by all of it. I was very lucky when I went to graduate school to focus on a part of the world that interested me primarily because I know so little about it. And when I discovered as an undergraduate this whole range of extraordinary art that was being produced throughout the Middle East and Asia during the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th centuries and realized that I had been totally ignorant, I wanted to learn more about it. And I had that opportunity at graduate school to really drill down deep, especially in terms of the Islamic art of India.
What was the graduate school?
I went to Harvard.
Yes, I've heard of that.
It's someplace
on the East Coast.
Northeast
quarter.
One of those places. So I was really lucky to do that. But when I was at Harvard, I continued to take courses in a broad range of subjects. So while my field was always Islamic art, my interests were always greater than that.
And it's, you know, MoMA is considered, and I would think, I agree, I'm certain you would, it's one of the most important art museums in the world. How does it maintain that position? What do you do to keep that place in the world's eyes?
You know, I think the formula for a great museum, and it's true whether it's the Museum of Modern Art or the Metropolitan or any other one, is really very simple. It is utterly dependent on the quality and commitment of its trustees and the excellence of its staff. And we happen to have an outstanding group of trustees and a truly brilliant group of curators and administrators who make the place work. And the reason that is so essential is what makes a great art museum is always the same thing, and it's the art. Mm. And the only way you can ever acquire great works of art is to know which ones to acquire. And that's what requires the commitment of trustees and a brilliant curatorial staff.
Okay, so now we can talk about how competitive is the art world when it comes to, A, getting those trustees, getting that board together, acquiring works of art, hiring talented, those curators that you're talking about, and raising money for these expensive projects, new buildings. You're in competition with major art institutions across the land, across the globe. Describe the scene for us. What is that like for you?
Well, I don't want to say it's cutthroat.
I can say it if you'd like me to.
But it is very competitive, of course, because there are only a small number of people who have, at the trustee level, the kind of commitment and intelligence and experience, and in many cases, financial ability to enable an institution to do great things. There are a very limited number of brilliant curators, and there are far more museums than there are brilliant curators. So, of course, it's very competitive. But I think it's also competitive in a healthy way, because the great institutions share a kind of common goal, a common commitment to excellence. And I think of it more as friendly rivalry than as kind of deep competition. Where it gets competitive is when tough choices have to be made, like acquiring a work of art, because at the end of the day, that work of art can only end up, for the most part, in one place. But it's enjoyable. I mean, most of the major museum directors know each other really well. We see each other all the time. We share war stories. But, you know, we also congratulate each other when we've done well.
And just curious myself, is there any sort of data analysis of how many of the visitors to your museum are locals versus tourist visitors from outside our tri-state area? And, you know, what are those great spikes you see when you have an exhibition like the Gauguin Metamorphosis? You know, what are those numbers?
Well, there's a lot of information. So at the Museum of Modern Art, about 50% of our visitors are from the United States and 50% from abroad. And within the United States, about 25% are from the tri-state area, including New York, and the balance, of course, from elsewhere. What we have seen is a really interesting shift in patterns. As Europe went through a fairly difficult recession, as we did around 2008, suddenly our Latin American attendance started to grow. And, of course, Chinese and Asian attendance is growing. And what our visitors from abroad seek is a kind of general introduction to modern and contemporary art that they know they can find at the Museum of Modern Art. And periodically, of course, they come for special exhibitions. While New Yorkers, primarily, are members. Many, like 90% of all of our members, and we have over 140,000 members, are New York residents. They come either to just see an old favorite work of art, or specifically to see an exhibition like Gauguin. So the New York audience is kind of event-driven, in part because, of course, it's been to the museum before. Many have been to the museum before.
And how do things like, just what's one of the major changes since you arrived, explosion of internet, new media technology, that has to have influenced the museum, and also things just like interactive tools, audio guides, apps, makes going to the museum very different than it was 30 years ago. Is it better? Is that for the better?
That's a great question, and it's one that's debated hotly. So, of course, the internet has extended places like the museum around the world, and that's a fantastic thing because so many people will never be able to come to New York or come to the Museum of Modern Art, and they can access a great deal of what we are about via the internet. But at the same time, that's not the same experience. It's a very different kind of engagement. In the same way that the plethora of audio devices and digital devices, which are terrific about enabling learning, they also create a kind of static within the context of the museum. And some people argue it takes you away from looking and thinking and engaging directly with a work of art. I actually think that what all these new technologies are creating is the possibility of enjoying the museum 24/7 wherever you are. Because for me, what matters is that you connect with a work of art or with an artist, and you start to think about that artist, and then you start to ask questions, and you can engage the institution through these digital programs about that work of art. And maybe you can even share what you found with your friends through social media, and a loop begins to be created that links the relationships you're having within the institution to relationships you have outside the institution, and that you can pick up and enjoy whether you're on-site or off-site. So ultimately, it's profoundly different than it was even 20 years ago, but I think it will also end up being extraordinarily enriching.
This is Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm sitting in today for Leonard Lopate, and I am having a wonderful conversation with Glenn Lowry. He's been the director of the Museum of Modern Art since 1995. And I would think, lastly, before I ask you about the expansion, that perhaps there might be opportunity for cultivating a younger, a newer audience for the museum, which must be very important as you look to the future. And who are those new museum goers and members?
That is spot on. I mean, I think one of the things that we've noticed, and it started really when the internet exploded, is that younger people began to see a place like the Museum of Modern Art as a home. And our audience, the average age in our audience, has been steadily going down, not up.
That's very enviable to hear, because so many cultural institutions are having the exact opposite problem. Their older audience is growing up and moving on, in some cases in a more permanent way, and they're having a hard time cultivating a young audience. I noticed every time I've been to MoMA, how many young people are standing around looking at art.
That's so exciting for me, because clearly we want to connect with the new generation, the next generation. And if we can continue to do that, then we'll always be a place that's about the future. And part of the reason that works for us is that so many of the artists we're working with are young. So they know how to connect to a younger audience. That's who they're making art for. And our job is to enable those relationships to be created.
And do you have to expand to enable those new artists to be part? And do you want to talk a little bit about the expansion? It's been written about quite a bit lately, and it's obviously controversial. What would you like to say about that today, and how do you see it sort of rolling out?
Oh, happy to do so. First of all, the expansion is driven by a very simple need to be able to show more of our incredible collection under even better conditions. And part of the challenge for an institution that's committed to the future is that our collection is constantly growing, and we want to ensure that we can display the most important works of art well and in an engaging way. And every decade, there's increased pressure to find more space. And it's not that we can expand exponentially forever. We can't. But we have the opportunity now to grow significantly by 40%, essentially, in terms of what we can show. And I think that matters enormously, especially when you think that we have a great deal of major large-scale installations that we can't show at the moment. Mm-hmm. We also have great works of early modern art by Matisse and Picasso that we can't show because we have to try and tell a synthetic history. And this expansion will enable us to show more of our early material and even more of our mid-century and later material. It's, of course, controversial. Anything you do in New York is probably controversial. In part, we just finished an expansion in 2004, although that's...
Yeah, I know. It seems like that the museum just reopened. It's so funny to think that 10 years has passed since that expansion, because it feels still so new.
And in fact, this project won't be finished for probably another 5 or 6 years. So it'll actually be more like 16 years or 17 years or whatever it turns out to be before we reopen. And an entirely new generation of chief curators are present in the museum. And this is the part that I find thrilling. What has marked the Museum of Modern Art since its founding has been that for each generation of curators, it has found the ability to enable them to articulate their vision. And this new project will enable this generation to realize its vision.
Oh, you left it on a cliffhanger, because one day we're going to talk about your curators and how do you hang on to those superstars. I have been speaking with Glenn Lowry, the director of the Museum of Modern Art, about what goes into MoMA's major exhibitions and what the future holds for museums. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a thrill.
My pleasure.